going to read through the following, through the end of the chapter. And so if you've got your scriptures, go ahead and turn there. If not, don't worry, we've got the words on the screen. So this is the word of God according to Acts chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go to the south to a road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." He rose and he went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep that was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For this life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, which is Isaiah 53, starting with this scripture, he told them him the good news about Jesus. And they were going along the road, and they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus as he passed through and preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. And we like to say back to the Lord that all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. What a bizarre and wonderful and great passage of scripture, Acts chapter 8. You see Philip in all of his obedience doing what evangelists do. He just presents the gospel over and over and over again. We see him in two literal places, first in Samaria and then this place called Azotus. Those are places you can find on a map. But in the middle of his journey, the Spirit of God tells him, "I want you to go to the most deserted place ever, and I'm going to just have you go there." And when Philip obeys him, he's like, "I'm going nowhere. There's no one to be found in this deserted place." And that's where he found one guy, this Ethiopian eunuch. And so, of course, their passage this morning is there in 36. And they came and they were going along the road, and they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water." And so his heart is primed to this idea that there's water in a deserted place. There's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And so that's the action that is happening in front of us. For four individuals, they're like, "Look, there's some water. What's preventing me from being baptized?" And for four of these individuals, they say, "Nothing. Nothing is preventing me. I want to follow Jesus with my heart, soul, mind, and strength." And we get to see this out in front and in public, and it's wonderful and good. So we believe in baptism by immersion. That may be a new word to you, but that means that you actually go under the water. There are other practices out there that we would probably even affirm, but the one that we practice here at Redstone Church is by immersion, because we believe that on Easter weekend that Jesus was completely buried in a tomb. And then 3 days later, he comes out of that tomb alive. And we believe the symbolism of immersion is wonderful, because when you go down under the water, if you go down into a tomb that you cannot live there any longer, And you need someone to pull you out so that you can take that breath one more time. And so by practice, that's what you're going to see. These people going under the water and being raised up to new life. And we think that's a beautiful picture. The second thing we do is we call it believer's baptism. That we believe that what by practice is that these people have placed their faith in Jesus. They are walking with Jesus. They love Jesus. They worship Jesus. And yet the step is a step of obedience. They want to show you what is outwardly, what is true inwardly. And so these, you're going to hear their testimony. You're going to hear their story, and it's wonderful. Water is all throughout the scriptures. In fact, water is everywhere. And the more we get to understand that water is super important, the better we will understand that this is a wonderful thing. So did you know that 70% of the earth is trapped, or 70% of the earth's water is trapped inside glaciers? I did not know that. Did you know that 70% of earth's water is also trapped by females carrying Stanleys? I made that up. That was not on Google. So if you are the guilty party, go ahead. All right, go ahead. Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to loosen you up. Remember, this is a day of celebration. All right. I've got more. Don't worry. All right, do you know that jellyfish and cucumbers are 95% water? Yeah, that's crazy, right? The human brain is 70%. Do you know what the number one cause of dry skin is? Towels. So to put your meal on your table requires, I can't believe this, but one meal requires 6,800 gallons of water for food, for that food to grow. It's really remarkable. 800 million lack accessible drinking water on planet Earth here in the year 2024. And so, yeah, water is important. It's important on Earth just to survive, right? But it's also really important in the scriptures. We see Jesus at, you know, the last thing he says to people on planet Earth is, I need you to understand water. The second verse of the Bible includes water. And that's because water is a great symbol for us. And what we're going to see is these symbols taking place right in front of us. First and foremost, in the Bible, you see water as cleansing or a blessing. There's a beautiful little passage both in Isaiah 60, but also in Isaiah 35 that says that there is a desert and it is dry. And the second the rains come, those deserts become flowering. What caused that to happen? It's just simple rain. But in a real way, when God comes into our lives, into the dryness of our life, and his spirit comes, we begin to come to life. We see Jesus saying of himself, I am the living water. Come to me. And when you come to me, you will never, ever thirst. It's a cleansing mechanism. It's also a form of blessing. But it's also another symbol, a symbol of destruction, right? And so the opposite of cleansing is this other picture of destruction. We know of the story of Noah, right? And Noah's ark. And this is a picture of just an unbelievable flood that takes out humanity. And so this water, because we can't breathe and we don't have gills and we can't survive under there, what are we going to do? Not only that, but if you remember the Red Sea, the Red Sea was dry for the Hebrews, but then closed in on the Egyptians. It's a form of destruction or even judgment. Even Jonah was thrown overboard because they needed to propel him, get him off of the boat because he was the problem. And he was being gobbled up by a fish. In all of these stories, this is a picture of destruction or pain or even judgment. And yet, Noah was given an ark. The Hebrews were given dry land, and Jonah was given a fish. It was also a picture of not just destruction and judgment, but also rescue. And so what these individuals are doing is they're not just getting wet. They're not taking another bath. They've already done that today. This is different. This is them putting themselves in line with what Jesus did out of obedience, and he was baptized. But more importantly, he was buried, and he was raised to new life. That's now their story. Their story aligns more with Jesus than even theirs. And so we call this a moment of testimony, because they are sharing with you what they believe. It's been in their hearts and maybe in their home or maybe in their community group, but we don't know of their story, and we get to hear that this morning. And so when doing their testimony or their interviews and prepping them for today, we tell them that there are four different audiences that are going to be watching this morning. Audience number one, and why their testimony matters, is God himself. God looks down from heaven and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He is now calling these individuals by name. "You are mine," Jesus says, "and I will never leave you or forsake you." And so for them, this testimony, God is looking and saying, "That's my kid. That's my son. That's my daughter. And I couldn't be more proud of them." Testimony two is themselves. We need constant reminders that this is what I believe. And I believe it over and over and over again. And so we're going to be taking pictures. Joe's somewhere. He's going to be taking pictures. And we have these gifts for them because we want them to remember this day that they said publicly, out loud, "I love Jesus and I want to follow him." The third audience is they are a part of a church. You are brothers and sisters in Jesus. And so they have welcomed you into a pretty, they're pretty nervous, right? It's a pretty intimate thing. But they welcomed you in. They want to do that here, and it's wonderful and good. And so the church gets to clap and cheer and say, you know, welcome. So that's the third story that they're going to tell. But fourthly, there are people in this room that have never put their faith in Jesus. They're currently not walking with Jesus, that are looking at these or hearing these words or looking at these symbols and going, "Where do I fit?" And challenging them that maybe you too could make this type of decision. And so it is a wonderful witness to the world. Acts chapter 1, this is how we've been presenting all of Acts, says, "And you will be my witness." And so one of their first forms of evangelism, of witness, is bringing that out in public, and we couldn't be more excited for them. And so that's what we're going to do. So there's a couple of parts to this. Is you're going to hear and see their testimony. A couple of them have testimonies on the screen, and then a couple of them are live and holding a mic, so that's good. They're going to be confirmed. They're going to bring people up to the stage that have seen them walk alongside of them, and they're going to have their testimony confirmed out in faith, and then you're going to actually see the ordinance of baptism. So let me pray for us. And then we will get to our very first story. And so, Lord, thank you for these individuals. Thank you for this day. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so, Lord, we are so very happy about what is happening in these lives privately, but also what is about to happen in public. And so thank you for Millie. Thanks for Matt. Thank you so much for Brad. Thank you for Morgan. And we just pray that as a church family, that we can come alongside them to encourage in any way that we can. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you don't mind, go ahead and get your attention to the screen. This is what Millie says about her walk with Jesus. Take two.
I love that he's kind and, like I said, true and loving. Jesus paid for them on the cross. Rose from the grave. Thank you. because I put my faith in Jesus. I said, my cousins, I'm going to get baptized next Sunday, and I'm going to go underwater in my clothes.
Okay, everybody, Millie Ramey. Millie, we're really, really proud of you and this step. So I'm going to give this to Dad. All right. So we've heard your story, and it was a wonderful story. You answered those questions so great. And so, Mom, Dad, so you have been with her. So what have you seen? What is true about this testimony that she's given?
So I think the biggest thing that I had one job. Been an interesting journey of seeing God work in a child, which is something I've never experienced before. I came to faith myself from an atheist background at 19 in college, and the people I've led to Christ over the years have all been between 16 and 22. I've never walked with a child going through this journey. So Millie has heard the gospel since she was born. She's been prayed over since before she was born. So we knew that at some point the Holy Spirit would be at work. But he works in mysterious ways and behind the scenes and through lots of people, lots of you all that are sitting in this room. Thank you for the ways you have spoken the gospel to Millie. I wanted to make sure to say that. So I didn't know exactly when I would know that her faith was real and permanent and her own. But yet the Holy Spirit helped me know. One day, about 6 weeks ago, it was just normal bedtime conversation, and I said something to Millie about how, you know, that our salvation requires us to make a personal decision to follow Jesus, that's something we each have to decide to do. Have you done that, or are you thinking about at some point doing that? She's like, Mom, yeah, I've done that. I was like, oh, okay. So we spent the next few days going over some of the Romans Road verses and really making sure she understood those fundamentals, and she was affirmative to everything, that this was something she had personally decided already. So we talked about how, well, then the next step is to start telling people that that's something that you believe, that our faith is not supposed to be just private, it's supposed to be public. So why don't you pick out the people that you want to tell? And so she came to church, and she was scared, but she told Pastor Spencer, and she told Allie, and then she found Audrey from community group, and she found the people that mattered deeply to her and told them individually. And we didn't push this today at all, but we introduced the concept by reading this story that was preached on today, and said, hey, there happens to be a baptism coming up. Do you think you're ready to walk in that step of obedience? And she was affirmative, and excited about it and excited to tell people. So I think it's just been, we have a very independent young woman, and to see her choosing this at every step of the way has been really beautiful.
Yeah, to really, you know, see a transformation in a 5, now 6-year-old, life, and to, you know, be confident that she knows Christ as her personal savior is not the easiest thing to see sometimes. Did she immediately stop fighting with her brother and do everything I wanted her to do without question? Just one day start doing that? I wish, but it doesn't quite work like that. But what I did see was I saw sincerity. I saw her asking questions and wanting to know the answer. And for a 5-year-old at the time asking those questions, you know, a 5-year-old can ask something, you know, why is the sky blue? And then be on to, you know, go on to something else in about 5 seconds. But she would ask very pointed questions and she would wait for the answer. So I saw sincerity in that. And then also I saw her using language that Lindsay and I really can't remember introducing. I put my faith in Jesus. And we kind of looked at each other and like, did you say that? did I say that? And, you know, we can't remember that. Maybe it came from Camp Redstone. Maybe it came from somewhere else. Or maybe it came from the Holy Spirit. You don't know. But it seemed to be genuine faith and genuine sincerity. So I think, you know, those things, along with, I also saw she really loved her devotional. She started reading her devotional more with us and with Mama at nighttime, and really kind of cared about that, and that was important to her. So I think those things have pointed to a genuine and sincere faith.
That's great. Okay, Millie, we... Okay, Millie, you have a couple of questions to answer this morning. Do you, Millie, believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
Awesome. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and was raised on the third day?
Yes.
Do you trust in Jesus alone for your salvation? Okay, all right. Come on in. So, Millie, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptized down into death and raised for new life in Christ Jesus. Good. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, let me introduce you to Matt.
My name is Matthew Adair. I've been at Redstone for about a year, pretty close to a year. So growing up, like, I heard about Jesus and knew about God, like, to a little amount, nothing too, like, super intently. But as I started going to church, you know, over the past year, I've kind of built that super personal relationship with God and believe, like, you know, the Bible and this, instead of having, like, just, oh, that's a person and it's kind of there, you know, not really believing in it, kind of not, but now I feel like fully, like, 100%. What's the word? Grounded in faith. I think believing the Bible, believing the gospel, because if you don't believe it, then it doesn't really make sense to anything that you want to do if you're trying to, like, live in a Christ-like way. So believing the Bible and believing what it's saying and believing the Word and putting that in my daily life, and, you know, listening to what the Bible has to say and being obedient to Christ and the things that we have to follow as believers. Because as reading the Bible, that is one of the things that says to do as a follower of Christ and as a believer. That is one of the steps in building your own relationship with Christ. That is, you need to be baptized and buried with Christ and to leave that old sinless, not sinless, that old sinful life behind and be raised with the new, and raised with Christ and walk in a new life. And I also want to show to everybody in my life and that's around me and that knows me, that this is something that I am serious about and that I really do want to pursue. So it's kind of a test of my faith in a sense.
Matt Adair, everyone. That's awesome. All right, so this is Joe Penny, Matt. Joe, you've been walking with Matthew for a while, so just give us a picture of what you've seen and in Matthew and what the last year has how it's unfolded.
Man, the last 12 months have been amazing. Just to get to know you, just see you plug into Redstone. I think you started out just with a lot of questions, a lot of curiosity, but you stuck around, and I think this is one of the few times that I've seen just the scales fall off of someone's eyes. There was just a moment where it all made sense to you, and that was just incredible. I've seen incredible growth in Matthew over the last 12 months. I've seen him go from questioning things to understanding, to believing. He loves God's word so deeply. He wants to know it more and more. He's reading it. He's asking questions. And then also, he loves the church. He loves you all. He loves the community. He just, it's been incredible to watch him plug in and seek to serve and just build community deeper and deeper.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, so Matt, you've had quite the journey for the last month, or the last year. And so, yeah, we are very, very proud of you. And so thanks for standing up here. I got a couple of questions for you in a similar way. Do you, Matthew, now believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe that it's Jesus who died on the cross for your sins and was raised on the third day?
Yes.
And then do you trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation?
Yes.
Amen. So good. So good. Okay, Morgan and Brad, come on up. No videos for you guys. They're like, no, we're going to do this thing live. We're going to do it. So this is Morgan. This is Brad. Who wants to go first? Okay.
Okay, so I wrote mine out so I wouldn't get nervous. I was raised in church, but I didn't start taking my faith seriously until my 20s. I've faced a lot of highs and lows, but 2023 was definitely my hardest year. I lost loved ones. I dealt with illness, depression, anxiety. And I even had, I even had my parents disown me. And they cut me and my family off. I told myself I wouldn't cry. Okay. But through all of that, I've learned about God's unwavering and unconditional love. In my grief, I've held on to Psalms 27:10, which says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And I told Pastor Teal and my husband that this was going to be a year of healing, of growth, and restoration for me. So that's why I'm here today.
That's great. That's great. So I've spent some quality time with Morgan and hearing her story and both the struggles of this last year, but seeing and hearing with great clarity a belief in Jesus, and also this newness of life that we read in the scripture, and this desire for her, that this is what she wants. And so it's been a beautiful story, but one of just great conviction in her heart that she believes in Jesus even more than just blood family. And so that's strong. She didn't want to be here. She didn't want to be on stage. She didn't want to be out in public, but this is here. This is boldness, and this is faith for her. And so, Morgan, we were so very proud of you. I've got a couple of questions for you, and then we'll turn to Brad. So do you, Morgan, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
And do you believe that it's Jesus who died on the cross for your sins, was raised on the third day?
Yes.
And then do you trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation?
Yes.
Amen. Praise be to God. So Brad and Morgan are married. So Brad.
My turn.
Yeah, there it is. Jesus. Oh. He owns a mic. There we go.
Yeah. Sorry, the nerves are kicking in. I'm actually going to wing it.
Okay, that's fine.
So I was born, raised Catholic Church, fell out around my teenage years, went through a pretty extensive abuse of alcohol and drugs until I met my wife. As soon as I met her, of course I want to keep her around. She started to show me what grace and forgiveness is in the Lord. And I knew, like, through what she was teaching me, like, that's the true way to go. That's the way I should be living my life. And slowly, very slowly, I finally got to this point where I knew this was the right way to go. Sorry, I'm at a loss of words for a moment. Anyways, learning through grace and stuff, I knew that's the way I wanted to lead my family and be a proper husband. And all of this is attributed to her, honestly. And sorry, again, I'm a loss for words. I'm going to go back to my paper, sorry. Let's see. So anyways, yeah, so she's been teaching me about God's grace and forgiveness and whatnot and how to be a proper husband, how to be a proper father. And I know that the only way I'm going to be able to do that is with Jesus and through Jesus. And so here I am standing before you today, ready to take my faith to that next level.
That's great. You did great.
Thank you.
You did great. And so this excitement that you see in Brad has been from day one. He says, no, now's the time.
Yeah.
Now's the time. So a couple of things that are so impressive, both about this couple, this church community, and then Brad, is that they are neighbors with the Lowndes. And so it's the Lowndes who just continue to probably pester them and invite them. And it's wonderful. So be good neighbors, y'all. It changed people's lives. But there was a moment in Brad's, in our session, where he talks about joining the Navy. Mm-hmm. And he says, I remember when I signed those papers and I turned them in that I was giving my life to the Navy. And he says, this is what's happening in my life right now. And it was a powerful moment of identity and then also like true faith that this is how he was aligning with Jesus. And so it is just with unbelievable just excitement that we get to baptize both Brad and Morgan today. So Morgan, you're up first. Oh, Brad, hang on.
Hey,
you have to answer some questions. Okay. Do you, Brad, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
And then do you believe that it's Jesus who died on the cross for your sins, was raised on the third day?
Yes.
And then do you trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation?
Yes.
Okay, Morgan. Yeah. Morgan, I baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried with him and raised in newness of life. Brad, it is with great honor and privilege that I baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried with Jesus and raised in newness of life. All right, so let me say thanks. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for these pictures of what Brad kept saying, this understanding of grace, not of works, but of grace, of what you have done in all of our lives. And so, Lord, I pray for our faith journey, and I pray for those in here that have watched one, two, three, four stories of faith. If there's anyone in here that is far from Jesus, who knows that they're not walking with him, that God, that you have started to just have them question in their hearts just what they believe. And I pray that, Lord, that if there's anybody in here that have never been baptized, that they too would start asking some hard questions of who Jesus is and why they haven't taken that step of obedience. And so, Lord, as a faith community, it is just an honor, a privilege, a joy to watch these things. But now the hard work of being the body, being a church, and rallying around these individuals as iron sharpens iron, that we just continue to spur one another toward love and good deeds. And we ask this in Jesus' good name. Amen. So there are two ordinances of the church. One is baptism and the other is communion. And in both ways, we see the suffering of Jesus, right? And then also the victory of Jesus. And so we're going to stay seated again today, and we're just going to pass these elements, and we're going to take corporately today. So if you don't mind, go ahead and grab. If you're following Jesus, go ahead and take of the elements, and then we will partake together.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Of his spirit washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all redeemed.
Brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus, go ahead and stand to your feet. And you, if you believe in Jesus, Jesus Christ crucified, both his death and his resurrection, and if you believe that he is your story, he is your song, take and eat, for this is Christ Jesus given for you.